you have your Bible with you, I'm going to invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We'll get there in just a second, but I'd like to offer a Happy New Year's greeting once again. It's exciting to be able to worship on New Year's Day, amen? This is one of my wife's favorite days of the whole year. She loves it. We all should like it. New beginnings. It's almost like a do-over, right? But this is the time of the year when she looks forward to cleaning up and cleaning out and getting organized for the next year. I can't wait to get home this afternoon. I feel certain she's already been in our closet. I probably have about 4 pair of pants left. Well, that's all right. I need new ones anyway that'll fit. So, but it is. It's a day of new beginnings. And it's a day when we let the past be the past and we look forward now to all that God has for us in the days ahead. So this is the first day of your New Year's resolutions. And I'm sure many of you have thought about what it is you need to accomplish this year. Maybe for some of you it's read the Bible in a year. Maybe you've already planned to participate with our Bible reading plan. I hope that's the case. It'll be exciting to read through the Word and to receive an individual, a personalized revelation from the Lord this year as we read through His Word. And maybe your resolution is to work out, to get in shape. Maybe it's to lose some weight, save more money. All right, that's my list. I'm sure you have yours. But we all have those things that we want to get rid of, do better at, right? Things that we know that we need to change in life. And so we come up with these resolution lists, things that we need to do away with, get better at, and so on. I wonder today if any one of you decided that the one thing that you need to do more of this year is worry less. Is that on anybody's list this year? To worry less. Wouldn't it be great to have a year without worry and anxiety? Wouldn't it be awesome to have a year like that? That's why I've titled this message, Worry Free in 2023. Worry Free in 2023. You know, worry is a hobby for some people. I'm serious. There's some people that just like to worry. They're consumed with the cares and the concerns of this world. And so they have to have something to worry about. And to those of you that might be like that in the room today, I want to share my main point with you. And I hope you find this helpful. And please know that I'm speaking to myself as I share this point. But my main point for this message today is that the faithful servant of God who is fully surrendered to Jesus does not need to worry about the cares of everyday life. Let me say that again. The faithful servant of God who is fully surrendered to Jesus does not need to worry about the cares of everyday life. In fact, by placing our confidence in God means we can trust Him to care for us and to provide everything that we need. So knowing that, we can be worry-free in 2023. So this passage, as you know, Matthew chapter 6, is really right in the middle of what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. And you know, from your reading and from hearing other teachings on the Sermon of the Mount, this is where Jesus teaches us how to be a disciple. He teaches us what it means to be a citizen of His kingdom. He teaches us what it means to have His values and His priorities dominate the kingdom of our lives. And specifically, the passage that we're going to look at today deals with materialism and how we as disciples regard the material things in life. So if you have your Bible open, we're going to take a look at verses 25 through 34 today. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Follow along as I read. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So how do we live worry-free in 2023? Well, the first thing that I want you to see is that we need to observe the biblical rule. Don't worry. It's a command. He says, don't worry. Now, Jesus gives this command because worry distracts us from kingdom living. You see, our focus is to be on the kingdom of God, not the things of this world. So therefore, we're given this command, don't be anxious. Or in your translation, it may say, do not worry. And it says it, by the way, three times in verses 25, 31, and 34. Notice what he says in verse 25. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Now, there's a couple of things we need to acknowledge about this verse and what it means. Don't worry. First of all, you know, first century culture is very different than the Western culture that we live in today. I know this is an overstatement, an over-exaggeration, but the first century culture didn't have Walmart or Target. They didn't have curbside or delivery. The truth is that they were concerned about the very basics of life. We know this because if they weren't, Jesus wouldn't have told them not to worry about their life and these basic provisions. But today we have a little bit of a different problem, but yet the same principle applies. Our problem today is that most of us are not wondering where our next meal is going to come from. Most of us are trying to decide where we're going to get our next meal. We live in a land of overabundance. We're not worried about the clothes on our back because the truth is when we go into our closets, we have an overabundance of clothes to choose from, don't we? So the issue for most of us is not if I have something to wear, but what are we going to choose out of the abundance we have hanging in our closets? See, Jesus uses food and clothing as general examples to signify our basic needs, but we could easily insert other areas of need in our life here, right? Like paying the mortgage, paying the car payment, right? Paying for groceries, or any other number of concerns that you may have. But the principle of this command is still the same. Do not worry about your life. Why? Because an excessive focus on the material things in life leads to worry. If these material things occupy our thinking, we don't have much of a spiritual life. And then there's a second thing we need to consider this morning from this first verse. And that is, this passage is not teaching that we shouldn't have problems or troubles. Because the truth of the matter is, we will. Jesus tells us that, does he not? In John chapter 16, verse 33, he says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Amen. So the passage does not forbid a practical, godly concern for our needs. But this biblical rule is that we don't worry or we don't get anxious over the things that God himself is in control of. And so the biblical rule, don't worry. Don't worry. Listen, don't give the devil a foothold to rob you of what God wants to take care of for you. Amen? And so he says, don't worry. And then notice what he does next. The next thing I want you to see is we have biblical reasons not to worry. And from this passage, I want to share with you five reasons why we shouldn't worry. And the first reason we shouldn't worry is that being anxious or worry is unnecessary for disciples of Jesus. Worry is unnecessary for disciples of Jesus. He said, hey, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they are? He says, hey, take a look at the birds of the air. He said, I take care of them. I'll take care of you. You're more important than the birds. And look at the way that I take care of them. Have you ever seen a struggling bird? I've never seen a struggling bird. Now, it's true that birds work. My mother, Kara's mom, many of you have, what were those little birds called? What's it? Yeah, hummingbirds, right? And people put out those hummingbird feeders, and man, it's great. You get like 10 or 12 of those, and they're kind of battling it out to see which one can get to the goodies inside that hummingbird feeder. So they work, but they're not concerned. I've never seen a little bird flying around with a "will work for food" sign on around its neck or something like that. They live carefree because they've always been cared for. And God says, if I'm going to care for the birds of the air, I'm going to care for you. He will take care of you. Why do you not have to worry today? Because God promises us he will take care of you. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. Do you trust him to do that this morning in your time of need? And then the second reason we shouldn't worry is that it's simply unproductive. Worry is unproductive. He says in verse 27, and which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? Now, your translation may say a cubit, which is talking about height, right? Or like in my translation, I'm reading from the ESV version, it says a single hour, so adding time. It doesn't matter. The principle is still the same. Either way, we can't do either. And the point that he's trying to make here is you can't add anything to your life by worry. And the truth of the matter is that worry robs you of life. It adds nothing of value to our life. I did some searches on how worry affects our lives and our bodies. I found this from the Mayo Clinic. It says, worry causes headaches, muscle tension or pain, chest pain, fatigue, changes sex drive, stomach issues, sleep problems. Now, after hearing that, why would you want to worry? There's nothing good on that list, is there? But here's the truth of the matter. Every one of us worry at some time or the other about something, right? Some of us more than others. But I read this week. Reports show that nearly 20% of people living in the U.S. struggle with anxiety. That means that approximately 65 million people experience worry that impacts their daily lives and relationships in profound ways. It's epidemic. We live in a worrying, anxious culture. I wish I could have found something more up to date, but I also found this week. It says in 2008, American physicians wrote more than 50 million prescriptions for specifically anti-anxiety medications and more than 150 million for antidepressants, many of which were used for anxiety-related conditions. So it's hard not to worry sometimes, isn't it? There are some things that cause us to be concerned, that cause us to worry. But Jesus wants us to see how unproductive worry is for kingdom people. We're not going to be very effective at pointing others to Jesus when we're in the grips of worry and anxiety. This is why Peter reminds us in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all our care on him. Why? Because he cares for us. Jesus wants to carry the load of our worry. He wants to carry the load of our anxiety so that we can remain productive for kingdom business. And what exactly is that kingdom business that he wants us to be productive doing? Well, loving each other, serving each other, sharing the gospel with each other. Those are profound things that kingdom-minded people do. And those are exactly the things that the evil one doesn't want us to be a part of. And so that's why he is going to tempt us in every way that he can to worry about the things in life that God's already made provisions for. Amen? And so we need to trust him because it's unproductive. Worry is unproductive. And then there's a third reason why we shouldn't worry, and that is because God's love for us is unwavering. Amen. God's love for us is unwavering. Look at verse 28 through 30. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? You know what I kind of envision here? We know that he's teaching lakeside, you know, in the Galilee region. And they're sitting on a little hill that kind of makes a little amphitheater, if you will, where they're there. And they're sitting on the grass. But when they look around, they see these beautiful flowers that are just there in the grass field. And I can just visualize Jesus using that as an illustration, you know, while he's having this conversation. And they look, and when they gaze upon it, they think, you know, that is right. It is beautiful. It is beautiful. And he did it. He did it. And if he can do that to the grass of the fields, what more does he want to do in and through your life as we yield to him? So these verses, I want you to see, offer two important reminders about his unwavering love. The lilies of the field remind us how precious we are in God's eyes. Think about this. When we see the lilies of the field, they remind us that God cares so much for flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow. How much more will he care for us? Job 12:10 says this, in his hand is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind. So we don't have to worry because our lives are in God's hands. If he takes care of the lilies of the field that are here tomorrow, or here today, but gone tomorrow, how much more will he take care of us? But that leads me to the second thought that we need to share from these verses. And that is, we should consider the lilies of the field because they represent the temporal nature of our time on this side of eternity. Our time here on earth is temporal. And just like the lilies of the field, we're here today and we'll be gone tomorrow. And this is why we can't allow worry to distract us from the more important things of life, the eternal purposes of life. See, these lilies of the field, they remind us that we can trust God to care for us and provide for our everyday needs, allowing us to confidently focus on the spiritual matters of life. We are not here on this earth forever. We're only here for a season. And so we need to take advantage of the time that God gives us here to be about His business. And so the problem here is that if we're spending our time here on earth worrying about everything under the sun, we're going to miss the opportunities that He wants us to take advantage of serving Him, doing kingdom business. We're not here forever. We're here for a season. And so we need to be grateful for His unwavering love for us. But remember, we're here for only a season. And we need to make the best use of our time serving Him while He's here. And then there's a fourth reason we shouldn't worry. And this reason is because it's unbefitting for kingdom people. It's unbefitting for kingdom people. Listen to what he says in verses 31 through 33. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. So seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You see, when we worry about material things, when we obsess over material things, what he's saying to us is we look like the unsaved world. See, Jesus in these verses is contrasting the life of those who don't know God and who are separated from Him with those who are His disciples. And his point is that when we worry over material things, when we obsess over the things of this world, it's like we don't even know God. In other words, it renders us useless for kingdom business. And so we shouldn't worry because it's unbefitting for kingdom people. If we have the same worry over worldly things that lost people have, it is a shame on us. It's a shame on us. And we have a loving Heavenly Father that we have a personal relationship with. We should have greater trust in Him. So we have to adjust our priorities. And that's what he tries to help us understand in verse 33. This verse has been very important to me in my spiritual walk. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What are all these things that he's talking about? Well, he's talking about what we'll eat and what we will drink and what we will wear. He's talking about the material things of life, the things that many of us obsess over. Is Jesus saying, hey, you put your focus on seeking me and my kingdom, and I will take care of the material needs of your life. He's telling us to put a priority on the kingdom of God. And with that said, I want to ask you a question. Is the kingdom of God a priority for you this morning? Is it a priority for you this morning? What kind of importance, what kind of value are you placing on living as a citizen in the kingdom of God day by day? Seeking Jesus and His kingdom should be the filter by which we live all of life. No matter what comes my way, I'm going to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, because that will affect everything about my life. When it comes to material things, I don't want to obsess over them because my ultimate goal is to please the Father. What's your goal this morning? Do you believe that He is aware of your needs? Do you believe that He is aware of your desires? He understands and has a concern for our material needs. That's why He taught us to pray back in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, "Give us this day our daily bread." It's why He also taught us back in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, man can't live by bread alone. Has to have some good apple butter on it. Yeah. No, what He is saying to us is He understands that we have needs and we have desires and wants. But He said, you seek me and my kingdom first and I'll worry about those things. He has a concern for our physical and material needs. But He wants us to give greater attention to our spiritual needs than what we do our material needs. Amen? Then a fifth reason that we're not to worry is because the future is uncertain. The future is uncertain. He says in verse 34, "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Our culture is obsessed with the future, isn't it? We're obsessed with the future, whether it's with financial markets, whether it's with the environment, whether it's with politics, health concerns. In some shape, form, or fashion, our culture is concerned, is obsessed with the future. And as important as these are, they can also be distractions. And I think the goal that we should have as kingdom people is try to eliminate as many distractions as we can from our life. One of the ways that we can do that is to quit worrying about physical and material things. I love Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It's been a life verse for me for a long time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We don't need to worry about these things because the future is uncertain. Does this mean we shouldn't think about the future or plan for the future? No, it does not mean that at all. What it means is that we shouldn't cripple the present by worrying about the future. That's what it means. So what do we do with this? What's our biblical response? What does it mean for our life? How do we respond? Well, first, I think we have to have the right perspective on life. Do you want to be worry-free in 2023? You have to have the right perspective about life. It's not wrong to plan and be aware of needs and desires. It is wrong to obsess over them to the point of worry and anxiety. Listen to what the psalmist said in Psalm 94:19. "When the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul." And again, 1 Peter 5:7, "Cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you." What about Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 29? "Come to me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." So first, we have to have the right perspective about life. Second, we have to have the right understanding about God. He loves you. He created you. He knows your heart's desires. Know also His kingdom is different than this world that we live in. We have to know the difference. We don't come to Him and ask Him to be an add-on to our love for this world. We come to him giving up this world, surrendering ourselves to his lordship, to his kingship, because he is king of the kingdom. So value the kingdom, value kingdom living by establishing the right priorities. And we do that by how? Seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Then the things of this world will have their proper place in our lives. And there's a third and last thing. Begin each day by turning your worry into worship. Turn each day from worry to worship. How? Well, number one, by prayer. You know, Paul said in Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Pray about it and forget it. He's got it. He loves you. He created you. He knows what your needs are. And when we have a God like that, who not only knows us, loves us, created it, but gave his own son for our lives, that in him we can have the forgiveness of sin, the redemption of sins, and life eternal with him. It would help us to have the right understanding about worship and worry. Begin each day by turning your worry into worship, spending time with God, and live lightly regarding material things. Live faithfully, boldly, and courageously for spiritual things. Amen? Let's bow our heads. And as we come into this time of invitation, I'd like to give you a minute or two just to ask the Lord to reveal himself to you and to help you see how the concerns for the things of this world may have gained a foothold in your life. Here we are on January the 1st, 2023. And so many new opportunities lie ahead of us. Opportunities to live a kingdom life before people who need to know the King of the kingdom. And so the question is, what's inhibiting you? What's holding you down? What's causing you to worry? What's causing anxiety in your life today that's not allowing you to live as a productive kingdom citizen? I want to give you a minute to talk to the Lord about that. As you do, you may want to ask the Lord to set you free from whatever it is that's weighing you down. He knows you. He created you. He loves you. He's got a great plan for your life. He wants your life to be filled with meaning and purpose. He wants your life to be productive for the kingdom. And so he wants to relieve us of the worry and the anxiety that hold us back. And the way that we do that, this very moment, is we give it to him. Lord, you tell us to cast all our care on you because you care for us. Lord, I know today that many people come in here today with all kinds of concerns, worries, anxiety. But I'm asking you, Lord, to do in this place what only you can do, of taking this load of unwanted stress and worry, concern off of us, and help us to trust you more. Lord, it's a step of faith for many of us. Lord, we want to let it go, but we get scared. We fear that you can't ease our burden. We fear that you won't ease our burden. But Lord, you promise us that you will. And so I ask today, Lord, that you would remove these things from our life so that Satan cannot have a foothold in our life to hold us back from being productive citizens for the kingdom and holding us back from doing the things that honor and please you. Would you help us? Would you help us today, Lord? We cast our care on you today. And we thank you, God, for the promises of your word, that you will take our burdens and that you will handle them so that we can live for you. Thank you for doing that today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.